Okay, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end, amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. So before we begin, I'd just like to mention again what the Little Children of the Holy Divine Will in Brazil asked, is that all nations united together, Holy Thursday and Good Friday, to go through, at 5 o'clock, wherever time zone you're in, one person begins, and every hour on the hour until, 4 o'clock on Friday afternoon, Good Friday afternoon, we want to pray basically to repair and redo in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. We want to pray for a greater than Nineveh for the world, so that the kingdom can be established. If you're reading the calendar, this whole week has been exciting, really, really amazing. Everything that's been happening in the world, Jesus mentions in the calendar today, this week, like even today, he's saying that, what we're going through is to prepare the world for the kingdom, and how glorious this is that God has waited, at this time to begin, a new beginning for all mankind. So he's at, I think, I've talked to Peter about this, but we'll get more on this later. I think a letter, to Father Sergio, he's the secretary of the cause of Luisa. If you write to him, we'll have the email address for him to become a member of the little family of Luisa worldwide. He asks us to unite, to work together. And I think this is a good way to do this, especially on Holy Thursday and Good Friday, especially if there's no liturgies or if there's no ceremonies on these 2 days, that we individually in our own homes, a beautiful soul wrote this yesterday. God is detaching us from the securities of this world in the silence of the church and in our home. We are now able to make an examination of conscience so that we clean what prevents us from hearing the voice of God clearly. And this is really about the Book of Heaven. With sincerity, we ask God to tell us what he wants us of us today and continue to do that every day and spend as much time as possible with God at church or somewhere in your home where you can find the silence. He is all we need. And I think that's so perfect. A lot of people are panicking. There's nothing to panic about. God is in charge. And he's asking us to basically pray in the name of everyone and everything, especially the rounds of the Passion, the 24 hours of the Passion. This is something that is so essential. When we pray this, Jesus says the chastisement will have a little effect in your area. So, the whole world is going to be affected. And I'm not talking about this disease. This is nothing. This virus is really nothing compared to what's coming. So we have to get ready. God is trying to wake us up, and he's given us the gift of gifts, the prodigy of prodigies, to pray this prayer so that the kingdom can be established. That's our job. Our job, Jesus says, this is the greatest gift that I've given to any humans. It's not the saintly life, the good life, the holy life. It's beyond that. It's to get ready for the divine will to reign on earth as it is in heaven, the way it did with Adam before the fall, the way it did with Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, which they gave to Luisa. So we're going to begin now with Volume 22, 620, 1927. My daughter, Luisa, the earth created by God as fertile and beautiful with the most refulgent sun that illuminates it and delights it, became full of thorns, all stony because of the original sin. The human will put to flight the sun of the divine will, and thick darkness covered it. So the thick darkness covers our human will. This is why we go to confession each week. And I, Jesus says, keep you alive. Why are we alive? because you must remove all the stones from the earth that render the divine will fertile again. Each act of the human will has been a stone that covered the most beautiful earth created by me, God. Each venial sin is a thorn. Each grave sin is a poison, has been a poison. Each good done outside my divine will has been like sand scattered over the land that invading it completely prevented the vegetation of even the smallest plant or some blade of grass that might sprout from underneath the stones. So he's saying to us, this is where the repair and the redoing comes in. If you haven't read the repair and redoing, this is a very important thing to understand. Why are we here? This is what Jesus says. Now, my daughter, each act of yours done in my divine will must remove one stone at a time. Each thought, each word, each deed. And how many acts it takes to remove them all. And by never giving life to your human will, you shall call back the refulgent rays of the Son of the Supreme Fiat to shine over these tenebrous lands, and these rays shall be called mighty winds of grace that, with empire, shall stir all the sand, that is all the good done, neither to do my divine will, nor in the divine will, nor out of love for me, God, but good done to harm human esteem, to earn human esteem, glory, and interest. So people have done a lot of good things. I mean, these are the saints. You have to understand this. They've done to earn human esteem, glory, and interest. I'm building this church. I'm building this shrine. I'm building this school. I'm building this hospital because I could be looked at as pretty good. A lot of people do that. I put my donation down. Put my name on it. Make sure you put my name on the wall. I want to be known. To who gave money for this, or gave my work for this. Jesus says this is not what God, why God created us. Not for, he says, good done to earn human esteem, good done to earn glory, good done to earn interest. Everything should be for the glory of God. Everything should be for the salvation of souls. Not for any name, us putting our name on it, or to be known to, you know, it has nothing to do with us. It's like even this, praying the 24 hours of the Passion. What is so great about praying the 24 hours of the Passion is you are alone with Jesus. Nobody knows about it. And good, you're alone with God. Nobody knows about it. And what you're doing with Jesus and Mary at the foot of the cross is redeeming, co-redeeming with Christ. That's what Paul says. You know, our sufferings that we go through help the lack of the sufferings that Christ went through. But he went through everything. But he's asking us to repair and redo in the name of everyone and everything. Who we're doing this for, you know very well, is your friends, your families, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners. Many in your own family are living lives that are separate from God. And you love them. And you want them in heaven. So Jesus says, repair and redo for them. But Jesus says, I want you to repair and redo in the name of everyone, all my children, past, present, and future. So when we do this, how glorious is this? Especially, I mean, this Lent has never happened like this. In all that is happening in the world, this has never happened like this. And so God is looking at us and he says to us, I want you to do something in order to repair this that has never happened ever before with something that's never happened before. And that's praying the rounds. I mean, excuse me, praying the hour, 24 hours of the Passion. Each person in each town, 25 people, that's all you need. Each person in each state, each person in each country, each person in each time zone. To pray the rounds in the name of everyone and everything, as if everyone was praying on the earth. This is why it'll be a greater than Nineveh. This is why what's coming is so glorious that God is asking us to participate in this. It's nothing to fear. It's nothing to be terrified about. It's nothing to be worried about. It's to get ready for what God has planned. So Jesus says, oh, how heavy this apparent good is more than sand that prevents this good that people do to earn human esteem, glory, and interest, that prevents the vegetation of souls and renders them so sterile as to arouse pity. And he says this, then the Son of my divine will with his fecundity shall change the thorns into flowers. God is going to do this. And change the thorns and flowers and fruits, and the wind of my grace shall be the counterpoison which shall pour life back into the souls. This is divine life. This is what God has planned. And he's looking at us. Are you willing to do this? And I know people are doing this, you know, they're praying the 24 hours of the Passion, yes, but not worldwide. We want to, even if there's one person in one nation, you know, praying this, it'll incorporate everyone and everything. See, this is what God is looking for. This is what God is asking of us. I really believe that. Psalm 22, 6, 26, 19, 27. Light brings us the joy of light, the beauty, the tempering, the vividness of light that brings us, triune God, the happiness of what is beautiful, the good, the holy, the immense. It braids all of our, this is the triune God's, our divine qualities. Hey, listen to this. And renders us all beautiful, lovable, and admirable for us, triune God. That's the sixth step that Our Lady taught Louisa in the Virgin Mary of the Kingdom. The sixth day. Read that. May we receive all the divine qualities that a human could possibly possess. This is what's coming. Everything that can be seen in creation is nothing other than the outpourings of abundant divine light, abundant divine heat, abundant divine freshness, abundant divine beauty, abundant divine strength that we, triune God, possess within ourselves. It's to be in God's image and likeness. And he says, these divine outpourings were released by us, triune God, in order to nourish and delight the creatures, the souls, with our own divine outpourings, to be like God, image and likeness of God, not to be God, in such a way as to render us, the souls, happy. And by dint of nourishing themselves with our divine qualities, the creatures would become similar to us in God's image and likeness, and would be bearers of what? Of divine happiness, of divine joys, back to their creator. Oh, how beautiful it was to be, Jesus says, in order to see us, the children of God, luminous like suns. You see what God has planned for us? This is not the fallen human nature anymore. Jesus is saying, I'm going to raise you, not just to be good and holy and saintly, like the saints, but to share in divinity, to do what God does. Jesus said that you'll do far greater things than I. How can we do far greater things than God? It's with this great gift of the divine will. God in us is doing it. You know, human can do a divine act. What, remember with Peter walking on the water, Peter said to Jesus, if you are the Messiah, command me to come to you. Jesus said, come, take my prayer and make it your command, Jesus. Peter walked on the water. Peter did a divine thing. Humans can't do divine things. But Jesus did it in him. You take my prayer and make it your command, Lord. Wait till you see what God has planned. As you read the 36 volumes, you're going to live a life of such joy that nothing will disturb you. The things that bothered you before cannot bother you any longer. Why? You're one with Jesus. Jesus is breathing in your breathing and you know it. Jesus is beating in your heart beating and you know it. Jesus is walking and you're walking and you know it. This is such a glorious time. It's such a wonderful time to be alive. This is such a glorious time. 522, 828, 1927. My daughter, Louisa, you must know. This you must know is a command from Jesus Christ. If you haven't read the book, You Must Know, that Louisa wrote down what Jesus said, it changes your life. As you read the 24 Hours of the Passion, it changes your life. As you read the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, it changes your life. Everything becomes more spectacular than you could ever believe. You must know that my divine will cannot admit the acts of my divine will into the creature, into the souls, into us, if it does not find itself. Okay? because creatures lack the capacity. Creatures lack the dignity. Creatures lack the sanctity and the space to be able to contain a single act of the supreme will. So we can't do it, Jesus says. And this is another of its sorrows. But the nature of its goodness, the nature of its goodness communicates its effects. It happens as to the sun that communicates its effects to the earth, but does not remain in it. Otherwise, the earth would become radiant and luminous, while after the sun has passed by, it remains dark, the dark body it is. However, the effects serve to preserve it and to make it produce plants and flowers and fruits. The same happens, Jesus says, for all the acts done of my most holy divine will. So when you wake up in the morning, you do your prevenient act and your actual acts for the diet out the day. Jesus says, this is what's important. He says, it wants to give itself so that the creature, the soul, may become son. What was the book the Vatican came out with? The Son of My Divine Will, Luisa Picaretta. Jesus did this with her. And now Jesus is saying to us, do you want this as well? He's really offering it to us. Everything in the Book of Heaven is Jesus saying, this is what I did with Luisa. I'd like to do this with you. Would you want this? And then if we say yes, then we got to begin to read, study, and put this into practice. This has to become our life. This is what Jesus is looking for. He says, the creature may become son in order to be able to form its life, but not finding its will. It's in its sorrow. It takes by taken by excesses of its goodness. It communicates its effects and that serve to preserve the object of its sorrows. Okay. No one can tell you, Jesus says, the value, what power, what sanctity, what life and immensity one act of my divine will, my divine fiat contains, except for your Jesus. No saint can tell you about this, except what Jesus told Luisa in the Book of Heaven. He is asking you, he is pleading with you to read, to understand this so that you can have it. This is what Jesus is saying. No one can tell you what value, the power, the sanctity, the light of and the immensity of one act under my divine will, divine fiat contains, except for your Jesus. And only the one who possesses a divine volition can contain its acts. So Jesus says, I will tell you this. I will show you how and the why it's going to happen, but you have to begin to live this so you can contain it. This is what's so, so beautiful. Therefore, only the fiat can raise the creature to the divine sanctity, the divine nobility that gives the soul the likeness of her God. All others, however good and praised because of their ability, industriousness, shall remain always like earth that possesses neither the font of life nor of water, shall be given as poor beggars the effects of my supreme will. Jesus says, I want you. He says, why did I create you? So you can live like this? No. He says, I created you so that you can possess this abundant life. One with me, fuse with me to be in my image and likeness. This is what God has planned. Why do you think the priest every day at Holy Mass puts a drop of water in the chalice and says, may we share in the divinity of Christ? This is God's plan. It's not going to happen. Jesus says, I don't want this. I don't want you to wait until after you're dead. He says, I want you to begin to live this now, he says to Luisa. He says, I rose from the dead. Why? So that you will rise from your life, from your sinfulness. You will begin to live an abundant life before you die. This is what God has planned. And he's looking at us. He's saying, get ready, get ready, get ready. 523, 917, 1927. If you look at all creation, you will find it all full of crosses formed by the human will. Look at your life. Everything, every cross in your life basically was formed by yourself. For example, you know, you might be having trouble breathing. It might be because of the human will, smoking cigarettes or being in a house filled with smoke or working in a factory with poisonous fumes. It's because of the human will that we have these crosses. And Jesus is saying, I want to free you of this. Your cross is important. Your fiat is important. So he says this. Look at the sun. My divine will brings its light to creatures, and they take its light, but do not recognize who it is that brings this light. It's God. I mean, how many of us today have said, thank you, Jesus, for the sunshine. Thank you, Jesus, for this light. I praise you and I glorify you and I worship you for this light. That's the rounds. I praise you for the clouds. I praise you for the snow that's melting. I praise you. Jesus says this, my divine will brings the light to the creatures and they take its light, but they do not recognize who it is that brings this light. My divine will receives so many crosses in the sun for as many as the souls who do not recognize God who presented us the sun. Jesus says, nobody thanks me. Let's look at adoration. All of us can go to adoration, even if we don't have a church through the internet. We can look at the beautiful shrine, the beautiful monstrance that's in Poland. All of us can kneel before Jesus and praise him and glorify him and worship him and adore him, thank him. It's that monstrance is abandoned. How many people spend time in front of our Eucharistic Lord? See, the divine will bring you there. Because Jesus says, I want to be with you. I want to look at you. I want you to look at me. I want you to fall in love with me as much as I fall in love with you. It says, Jesus is saying this. For as many as those who do not recognize it, who while enjoying the light, use the very light to offend the divine will that illuminates them. Oh, how hard and painful it is to do good and not to be recognized. We're going to recognize God in all situations. That's what Adam did. He recognized the love of God in all the leaves of the tree, all the blades of grass, all the grains of sand. Every one of those is a divine, I love you, Jesus says. And Adam recognized it. That's why he said to Louisa, go to your garden. Begin to adore me and love me and praise me and thank me as Adam did before the fall. Begin to live this abundant life. No saint has ever taught us that. We get hints of it. But you see, Jesus says it's because of Jesus that this is happening. Vine 23, 11, 23, 19, 27. My abandonment in the divine fiat alone is my life. Louisa says, my abandonment in the divine fiat alone is my life. This has to become our life. Abandonment in the divine will. Nothing is important to me, Jesus says through Louisa, as your fiat. Fiat in all things. No matter what happens, it's always fiat. If it's raining, fiat. If it's sunny, fiat. If it's cloudy, fiat. If it's nighttime, fiat. It's everything is fiat. Everything is to say to Jesus, I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you, I adore you, I worship you. You're living heaven on earth throughout the whole day. You're never separated from God. Until you begin to worry and be fearful, be anxious, complaining, and negative. God doesn't want that. He wants to free us of that. So Jesus says this, or Louisa says this, my sweet Jesus hides more and more, and I remain only with his divine will that is so holy, so immense, so powerful, that in each of its motions sprouts and emits from itself this ocean, this sea of light that forms its luminous and endless waves. We participate in this ocean of love. We enter into a new, if you want to say, dimension. You begin to understand the divine language that Jesus teaches Louisa and Louisa speaks to us about. We begin to understand how glorious this is. My littleness gets lost. I wear nothing. We're nothing compared to what God is and what God has created. My littleness gets lost, though it comprehends that there is much to do in order to follow its innumerable acts with such within it's so vast, and this ocean of love, the sea of love that God wants us to participate in. So Jesus says, my daughter, my little daughter, if you get lost, this is what Jesus says, it is always in my divine will that you remain. Never outside the divine will. That's what we want. Nor could I, God, tolerate that you went out of its boundaries by a single step. No, no, the little daughter, my divine will, shall always be in its arms, never to be separated from God. This is why we were created. And this is why Jesus is saying, I'm now going to bring the third era, the era of the divine will, the era of sanctification. With the era of creation began, and Adam lost it. The kingdom of redemption began with Jesus and Mary, and now Jesus says, now is the time for the kingdom of sanctification. Glorious things are in store for those who want this. 5:23, 12:8, 19:28, my daughter, what is human does not know how to do great things. What is human does not know how to do great things. Jesus saying, I want you to live in my divine will, to understand great things, to do great things, nor give great things. So the celestial queen would have remained the little light had Our Lady not put her human will as though aside that was the little light, had Our Lady not let herself be invested by my divine will, dissolving her little light in the divine will, that is not little light, but endless sun that invests Our Lady completely. We're learning about the Blessed Mother. This form sees oceans of light around the Blessed Mother, oceans of grace, oceans of sanctity that embellished Our Lady so much as to render Our Lady all beautiful. This is why we honor our Blessed Mother. This is why we crown our Blessed Mother. This is why we have statues of Blessed Mother outside our house and inside our house. She is our mother. She is our queen. Listen to what Jesus says. Rendering her all beautiful. This is divinely beautiful. With all the shades of the divine beauties, just what I said, such as to enamor the one who had created her. She is so beautiful that God is enamored by her. That's what God wants to do with us. The triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary is to be in God, Jesus' image and likeness, to be in Our Lady's image and likeness. This is to do what Jesus does, to do what Our Lady does. This is the triumph of her Immaculate Heart. This is what is coming. This is the era of sanctification. This is the time of illumination. Read and study and put these truths into practice, and you will begin to be ready for this abundant life that's coming. Our Lady's Immaculate Conception, though beautiful and pure, listen to this, was always a little light. The Immaculate Conception was a little light. It would have had neither the power nor the sufficient light to be able to form these seas of divine light and divine sanctity if our most holy divine will had not invested the little light of Our Lady in order to convert it into sun. And if the little light that was the human will of the celestial lady, our sovereign lady, had it not contented itself with becoming dissolved, this is the drop of water in the chalice filled with wine. Dissolved in the sun of the divine fiat to let itself be dominated by it. This was the great portent, the kingdom of my divine will in the Blessed Mother. With it, everything Our Lady did became light. Our Lady nourished herself with divine light. Nothing came out of the Blessed Mother that was not divine light because she had the sun of my divine will in her power. See, God surrendered to her. That was such that Our Lady could not draw from it as much light as she wanted to draw. She could draw from it, as much light as she wanted to draw. And since the property of the light is to diffuse itself, to dominate, to fundicate, to illuminate, to warm, this is why the height of the Sovereign Queen, the Blessed Mother, with the fecundity, the Son of my divine will that she possessed, diffused herself in God. That drop of water entered into the chalice filled with light, filled with wine. That drop of water becomes wine. Why does the priest do this? May we share in the divinity of Christ. This is what Our Lady did. With the Son of my divine will that she possessed, diffused herself in God and dominating him. Listen to this. Our Lady bent him to descend upon earth. Our Lady became fecund of the eternal world. Our Lady illuminated and warmed the humankind. It can be said that Our Lady did everything by virtue of the kingdom of my most holy divine will that Our Lady possessed. What is her triumph? We will be like her son. We will be like her. We're not going to become her. We're not going to become God. But we will be in the image and likeness of God, of the new Adam and of the new Eve. This is what God is planning. 5:23, 3:8, 19:28. My daughter, if you knew how much I love these writings, this book of heaven. These writings cost me more than the very creation and redemption. Why? Because it's sanctification. It's the greatest of gifts. It's to be in God's image and likeness again. How much love and work I have put into these writings. These writings cost me very, very much. In them, there is all the value of my most holy divine will. You see why God wants you to read this? They are the manifestations of my kingdom and the confirmation that I, God, want the kingdom of my divine will in the midst of creatures, in the midst of your families, in the midst of your friends, in the midst of your neighbors and your co-workers and your parishioners. That's what's coming. The good that they shall do is great. These are the words of Jesus. They shall be like suns that shall rise in the midst of thick darkness of the human will, like lives that shall put to flight the death for the poor creatures. They shall be the triumph of all of my works, of God's works. This is the triumph of the Immaculate Mary. The most tender, the most convincing narration of how I, God, loved and do love mankind. Therefore, I love these words, these writings, with such jealousy that I, God, shall keep them in my divine heart, nor shall I permit even a single word to be lost. Don't worry about anything. Everything's going, this is a divine decree. You have to understand, it's like standing outside of creation, and God says, I'm going to create the universe. I want you to witness this. And then Jesus says, I'm going to redeem mankind. I want you to witness this. And now he's saying, I'm bringing sanctification. I want you to witness this. This is what God is doing. This is not a single word is going to be lost. What have I not put into these writings, into this book of heaven? I have put everything, superabundant attractions that enrapture lives that shall bring about the resurrection of the kingdom of my divine will. Therefore, you too, you must do this, he says. Appreciate these writings. Hold these writings, that esteem, hold in them that esteem that they deserve. The delight delight in the good that these writings shall do to you, to your family, to your friends, to the nation, to the world, to the universe, to from Adam to the last person. Everything is going to be recreated. That's the prayer we pray to the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics. Enkindle in us the fire of your love. That's the divine will. Send forth your spirit and we will be recreated. That's what happens when you read the volumes. And then you, Holy Spirit, will renew the face of the earth through us. God's going to do it, not us. All he's saying is, do you want to participate in this? I saved the best for last, Jesus says. Do you want to participate in this? How glorious is this that we are alive? This is so amazing. 5:24, 7:7, 19:28. So by virtue of my divine will, the human will transfixed light outside and admitted the fragrance of its creator. Fragrances, listen to this, of divine beauty, of divine sanctity, of full health. Fragrance of divine purity, strength, divine strength, that were such as to come out from within mankind's human will like many luminous clouds. That's why he created us. God was going to do this in us. And when Adam committed the original sin, we lost all of it. We've fallen below the animals in paradise. All the animals in paradise are still alive. They're in existence. Nothing in paradise has died. Nothing can die in paradise. Everything is alive. Nothing is inanimate. Everything is animated. Everything is living. We're the ones that have lost it. And Jesus says, I want to bring you back to this. I want to bring you back to this life that I gave to little Louisa. Are you willing to say yes? Are you willing to say, fiat, let it be done to me as you say? That's what Jesus is looking for. So he says, okay, and the body, listen to this, the human body was so embellished by these exaltations that it was delight. It was a God delighted in seeing mankind beautiful. Adam beautiful. Adam vigorous. Adam luminous. Adam so very healthy with an enrapturing grace. That's the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary that's coming. A new beginning is coming to mankind. And Jesus is saying, are you ready? Do you want to participate in this? He says, I'll give you as much as you want, 30, 60, or 100 fold. What do you want I'm going to give you, Jesus says. We got to go back to reading and studying. Like I said, the calendar this past week was magnificent. You understand so clearly what God is doing and why we are here. You begin to understand why God loves us so much. 5:24, 7:23, 19:28. My daughter, the soul in whom the divine will is present is the luminous point in the world. That is Louisa. This is why, get to know Louisa. The soul in whom my divine will is present is the luminous point in the world. And just as a sun can be seen under the vault of the heavens that invests the earth with its rays and penetrating everywhere with its life of light, embellishes, colors, fundicates, and the whole earth, so another sun, more beautiful than the sun in the sky, more refulgent than the sun in the sky, can be seen in the point of the world. That is, in Louisa, the soul in whom my divine will reigns. How do I know this is Louisa? That's what St. Honorable de Francia, no, so that's what St. Padre Pio said. He said, Louisa is a second sun that's going to give light and life to everyone and everything. As the sun goes down in the west, the new sun coming up, that's Louisa. There's no more darkness. This is what Jesus wants us to begin to understand. Who is this Louisa Picaretta? Who is she? Now, some people are confused by her and become afraid of her. Just get to read what Jesus, look at the 2,200 titles that Jesus gave to Louisa in the Book of Heaven. He wants us to know her. He really wants us to know her. He says, its rays extend and expand so much as to embrace everyone and everything. That's Louisa. How beautiful that it is to see from heaven these luminous points in the depths of the earth. Now, those are the souls who, when giving their fiat, living a peaceful, joyful, happy life with Louisa, also possess this light. But as soon as the soul becomes worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, negative, and sin, the light is off. Nobody has that fullness yet. We're learning little by little to do this. When the Archbishop said, who is living in the divine will? The response was no one. Why? We don't possess the fullness of this gift yet. When that happens, and Jesus says the day of the divine will, when that happens, the world will shudder. The world will shake because they'll begin to see what it means to live in the divine will. They'll begin to understand what this great gift is. So again, our test is not to worry, not to be fearful, not to be complaining, not to be negative, not to sin. Our test is to say fiat in all situations. Fiat. And that, what Jesus says, when I hear the soul say fiat, God goes into ecstasy. Why? He sees the reflection of him in that soul. So God's going to test us all throughout every day, test us every day. If we can say fiat in all situations. Jesus says, it no longer seems earth, but heaven, because there is the son of my fiat saying fiat. It's no longer earth. There's no worry. There's no fear. There's no anxiety, complaints, negativity. There's no sin. its rays embellish, fundicate, and scatter such variety of divine colors as to communicate the varieties of divine beauties of God with its life of divine light. Wherever these luminous points are present, the current of evil is stopped. No more evil. He says, my justice itself feels disarmed by the strength of this light and changes the scourges into grace. Let's go back to the 24 hours of the Passion. The scourge is going to be turned into grace. Make sure that you make Holy Thursday and Good Friday one with Jesus Christ. Go through the 24 hours of the Passion. If you have an opportunity earlier in the week, watch the movie, The Passion of the Christ of Mel Gibson. I mean, if you're of age. If you're not of age, don't put a child through that, because it gives you a glimpse of what Jesus went through. This is, great things are coming. So Jesus says, these points are the smile on the earth. Their light is the herald and bearer of divine peace, divine beauty, divine sanctity, of divine life that never dies. This isn't a fallen human happiness. It's a sanctified, sanctity of sanctity life that God has given us glimpse of. So when the day of the divine will happens, we'll be able to possess it without ever leaving it again, without ever failing again. We will prove to Jesus that we were faithful to his test. That, again, that's the fourth stage of the prayer that Our Lady gave to Louisa, the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, on the fourth day. The test. I will go through that test. Okay. They can be called the fortunate points of the earth because in their midst there is the divine light that never dims, the divine life that always rises. And where these luminous points are not present, the earth is obscure. And if any good is done, it is like those little lights that have no rays because the source of divine light is missing in that good. And therefore, it is no strength nor virtue to extend and to expand. And since the source is missing, divine will is missing, they are subject to becoming extinguished, and the earth remains obscured as though buried with thick darkness, because the human will is the herald and bearer of evils. What is your human will again? Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. It's the bearer of evils, of disturbances, of disorder and the like. I make a firm purpose of amendment to avoid the near occasions of sin. This is what God is waiting for. And he's going to do it as we read, as we study, as we put this into practice. You're going to receive a strength that you've never had before. Everything before that you failed at, God gives you the grace to get through. Wait till you see what God is going to do. Keep on reading, reading, reading. A year from now, when we go back to Lent, a year from now, if you're reading the calendar every day, you're going to be a completely different human being. Completely different. Why? You're whittling away, or God is whittling away from you, your stubbornness, your misery, your worry, your fear, your anxiety, your complaints, your self-centeredness, your ego and your will. Great things are coming. Volume 24, 8, 26, 19, 28. My daughter, Louisa, just as lightning is unleashed by the clouds and illuminates the earth, and when it withdraws again into the womb of the clouds to light up the earth very often with its light, in the same way, the soul who lives in my divine will, as the soul operates, unleashes her lightnings from the womb of her humanity and forms more light in the sun of my divine fiat. See, it's God is doing this. Not only this, but she lights up the earth from the darkness of the human will. However, the lightnings that cloud unleash is limited light. It's a flash. While the lightning produced in my divine will is without limits, it contains a universal strength, a Catholic strength, and therefore a one strength, a new creation, a divine life. So as she does her acts of lightning, all the doors of my works open to receive what? The new creation, the lightning of light, of the operating of the creature in my fiat. This is an unheard of prodigy. Jesus says, when the divine will reigns, this is what you and I are going to do. And then he's saying, learn how to do this. It's like riding a bicycle the first time. You fall off it. Second time, you fall off it. Third off, you run into a pole. You know what happens is Jesus is saying, learn this, study this, become an expert. And that's what God is doing here. A new creation, he says. Universal strength. Therefore, one strength, a new creation, divine life. So as she does her acts of lightnings, all the doors of my God's works open to receive the new creation, the lightning of divine light of the operating of the creature in my fiat. Therefore, all my works feel the renewed and twice glorified. So they all celebrate. Everyone celebrates in feeling the new creative strength over them by every act, thought, word, and deed that you do. It becomes heaven on earth. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. That's what we pray for every day in the Our Father. It's close. As he said to the man, you're not far from the reign of the kingdom. You're not far from the reign of God. With divine will, with Louisa, it begins. God is doing it in us. And we participate in what God is doing in us. It's as if we are doing it. You take a walk around the park. Jesus, walk in my walking. And you're letting God reign on earth. She says to Louisa, I want you to become my skin so that I can gaze in your gazing. I can listen in your listening. I can sing in your singing. I can breathe in your breathing. I can beat in your heart beating. This is what I wanted from the beginning, for mankind to be one with me, fused with me in my most holy divine will, in my image and likeness. What's coming is so glorious. Hang on to your hats. And so, Jesus says, therefore, all my works feel renewed and twice glorified, and so they all celebrate heaven and earth in feeling the new creative strength over them. 24, volume 24, 8, 30, 19, 28. My daughter, the kingdom of divine will is all prepared within my holy humanity, and I am, here Jesus is using God's name, I am ready to put it out to give it to souls. Give it to my children. It can be said that I, God, formed the foundations. I, Jesus, raised the factories. I, Jesus, raised the rooms in innumerable and all adorned and illuminated, but not with little lights, but with as many suns for as many truths that I have manifested to you, Louisa Picaretta, in the book of heaven about my divine fiat. This is what you're going to enter into. Nothing else is needed. But those who would inhabit this factory, this kingdom, there shall be a place and a room for everyone, because it is vast, more than the whole world. You see what's coming? The kingdom is coming. 5:24, 9:16, 19:28. This is why there's no room for worry, no room for fear or anxiety or complaints or negativity. We have to see from Christ's perspective. We have to see from a divine perspective, Jesus, the way Jesus sees it. That's why he spoke to Louisa. 5:24, 9:16, 19:28. And my divine will, with its light, with its heat, shall repeat the prodigy of removing the bad humors that the human seed produces. No worry, no fear, no anxiety, no complaints, no negativity, no more sin. This is what's coming. It's not here yet. In order to be sure, it shall place the seed of its divine light, divine heat, that shall constitute itself the life of that seed. I will put enmity between you, Lucifer, and your seed, and Mary and her seed. Do you see what's coming? This is the fulfillment of Genesis 3:15. And so they shall exchange possession. My divine will shall take possession of the seed in order to form it. It's light, life of light, life of heat, life of sanctity, and the creature shall return to take new possession of the kingdom of our divine fiat. See then, my daughter, everything is ready. Do you believe that? Everything is ready. You have the book of heaven. Everything is ready. Enter into this book. Read, study, put this into practice. Download the calendar and begin each day to sit with Jesus, listening to him. See then, my daughter, everything is ready. Nothing else is needed but to make the divine will known. And this is why I, Jesus, so much yearn that what regards my divine will become known. To cast into souls the desire to possess this good that is so great, that my divine will, drawn by their desires, may concentrate its luminous rays, and with its heat perform the prodigy. This is the prodigy of prodigies, of giving back to mankind the right to possess its kingdom of divine peace, divine happiness, and divine sanctity. Whew. This is a glorious time to be alive. So we'll end there and come back in 15 minutes in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.